NFL draft is 2 weeks away, but already Tennessee Titans fans have reason to be excited about the future, because it's now a done deal that Jeffrey Simmons will be a part of that future. Arguably the biggest offseason storyline involving this franchise was resolved this week when Big Jeff agreed to a contract extension, got everything signed and sealed and met with the media. So everybody can take a collective sigh of relief here and know that deal is done. And for a team that has not held on to its to many of its first round draft picks here in recent years, this is a big step in a lot of ways. So we will get into that, obviously spend a lot of time on that and a few other topics in this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast with the usual lineup. Former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how's everything today?
I'm doing excellent. I like to say I'm a lot better than John Glennon today.
I was going to say, John Glennon, fresh off surgery, playing hurt with us tonight. John, other than a hand in a big cast, how are you, sir?
I the rest of my body parts are all functioning well. I hope the same for you guys.
And we need to know, are you on some pain pills? Are we going to get some really, really exciting takes from you in this next little bit here?
No, if we had held our podcast on a regular day, which is yesterday when I was just post-surgery, things might have been different because I was coming out of anesthesia and had Percocet in the system too. So who knows what I might have said, but today I can't blame anything but myself for the foolishness that I will spit out.
Maybe we should have done that. It might have been a little more entertaining, but we will soldier through tonight. I am David Beauclair, and I need to remind you that the Believe in Titans podcast is brought to you by Bet Online, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting. Everything from NBA and NHL playoffs to UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, it's where the game starts. And naturally, we are going to start with the Jeffrey Simmons deal, the particulars of which are a 4-year extension at $94 million, a big number there, just shy of $49 million guaranteed at the signing, with just shy of $67 million in total guarantees. It gives the Titans control of Simmons through 2025 at least, because through the next three seasons, there's really no benefits to cutting him. The cost would outweigh, I think, any sort of benefits. They can start thinking about moving out of it after that, but he is under contract through 2027 in total. So, a lot to like about that. Denard Walker, what does this mean for the Titans defense now this season and going forward?
Well, you talk about arguably one of the best defensive line in the league. You got to talk about Tennessee. Statistically, they've been in the top five the last 2 years. And really the pulse of that defense is the big man, Jeffrey Simmons. Again, when you're ranked number 54 out of 100 players in the league last year by your play, by your peers, that's a remarkable accomplishment. And not to mention, I'm so glad that they was able to sign the big man and make him happy so he can just go out there and play and get off of social media. And not to mention, I think this is if I'm the Titans organization, this is about your future, because not to mention, he's only 25 years old, so his best is ahead of him. And then when you look at him, look at the big man. What was interesting when I was reading, John and David, is if you look at 2021, You can look at the 8.5 sacks. But what's remarkable is the 62 quarterback pressures. I mean, that's fifth among players at his position. That is amazing. And that's why I feel like when they got this deal done, now what happens is this organization, they can go forward knowing for the next 4 or 5 years, they got the best defensive player in the league playing for them.
Yeah, and a guy who I think everybody feels like is ascending at a time where, you know, Aaron Donald, still as good as he is, he's not going to get any better, probably start declining here in the next year or two. And it might not be long before we're talking about Jeffrey Simmons as unquestionably the best interior defensive lineman in the game. John, it's, you know, I mentioned it's big money. You look at it specifically, it's number one against among all defensive tackles in total guarantees with the $66.91 million, and it's second to Aaron Donald in terms of the average annual money paid out over the next 3 years at $23.5 million. So what kind of statement does it's Rand Carthen, Mike Vrabel, Amy Adams Strunk, you know, the various people in charge here. What does this say about this organization and how this team is approaching things right now?
Well, yeah, you know, a few different things on this move. I mean, I think it's a great example and a tone setter for this team, for the locker room, you know, where Jeffrey Simmons is a captain. He's a leader. He's recognized as one of the game's, you know, top players. You know, and you're if you treated Jeffrey Simmons any other way, you know, if you had, you know, say tagged him eventually after this, you know, having played through this year and then tagged him, you know, I think there would have been a large bit of discontent on this team, you know, and that's not the way you want to go. You know, from Rand Carthen's point of view, I think it was great for him that really his first big move to date with the contracted players, or one of his biggest move, is not trading him away or not saying, you know, we're going to let him play through this contract, you know, anything like that. It's, you know, rewarding a star player for what he has done and saying, hey, we're going to take care of our star players. We're going to give them the long-term security that they want and that they deserve after they outperform rookie contracts. So I think this was a great move and other benefits as well. You know, the deal actually reduces this year's cap by $4 million, and you never know where that could be put to good use. And David, as you mentioned, it does appear that they can get out of this deal, you know, probably going into 2026 if they want to. There's no reason to say that they would have to do that. And, you know, one other factor to consider, too, this deal did come after the Commanders signed, you know, Daron Payne to a big, big deal, defensive lineman. But they did it. The Titans did their deal with Simmons before Quinnen Williams of the Jets and before Dexter Lawrence of the Giants, two other really good, talented defensive linemen that are going to get paid likely this offseason. And so you don't have to worry about, hey, what if these guys really strikes it rich and has an outlier contract? All of a sudden, that's a precedent, you know, that Jeffrey Simmons is saying, hey, follow that with me. You know, by doing this early, you've taken care of business early. Jeffrey Simmons is happy, and Rand Carthen is happy that he doesn't have to make a bad move with a star early in his tenure.
And it does come after, you know, the reports of Kevin Byard being asked to take a pay cut, which, you know, created some bad press and some bad feelings, I think, among the fans. So this puts a much happier face on things for the Titans. The thing that I thought of about this is, you know, the interior of the defensive line in some ways is different than a lot of other positions. It's a tough position in the NFL to come in and be great at right away. Like if you're a cornerback, for example, if you're a great cornerback, you can run with wide receivers. Yeah, you know, NFL wide receivers are going to show you some moves or two, but if you can cover man to man, you know, you can pretty much cover man to man. We, you know, we see rookie running backs come in and do their thing. We're seeing more rookie wide receivers, but when you're an interior defensive lineman and your job is to get to the ball or to get to the quarterback, there's nowhere to go in there. You can't just beat a man one-on-one most times and say you're there. You've got to make your way through a lot of traffic and big bodies and all sorts of things. And what you see is those guys tend to take a little time before they really hit their peak. And you can even look at Aaron Donald, for example. He didn't win his first Defensive Player of the Year award until year four, and his four best sack seasons from in there are the years 5, 6, 7, and 8 for him. So he was a guy who was the Defensive Rookie of the Year. He was great coming in, but he got better as he went. Albert Haynesworth with the Titans, you look at him, he was not a Pro Bowler and all pro until years 6 and 7 when he finally figured it all out and realized what he could do. Another guy with this team, Josh Evans, Denard, you can speak to what a factor Josh Evans was in the 1999 playoff run. And, that was basically year 5 and year 6 for him in 2000 when he was fairly dominant, a guy who was smaller, certainly a different type player than Jeff Simmons, but another guy who took his time and figured it out. So do you agree with that, Denard? Is that a position that experience matters maybe as much as anywhere else?
Well, not necessarily. They all go together, because sometimes as a defensive back, we're seeing that now with Caleb Farley. I mean, it takes time to get used to the speed of the game. So they all work hand in hand. But David, I do agree with you that when you have a dominant, defensive lineman, what happens is it makes it so much easier in the back half to cover. Because if you have to cover, 5 or 6 seconds, then guess what? Typically teams, they'll have more success. So when you have a dominating defensive line, we talked about the 62 quarterback pressures Jeffrey put on back in 2021. What happens is a lot of times those quarterbacks, they got to throw that ball a lot faster than they want to. So again, I love the hire. I think Rand Carthon did an amazing job getting this deal done. So I'm happy for the big man. But David, I just wanted to say that I watched his press conference and he was very emotional. And he just kept talking about his mother, having to raise 5 kids on her own. And he's got a quote, and he just said that every day, I wake up, just think about those hard times where I know my mom didn't feel like it. And what an amazing accomplishment. The fact that now he gets to take care of his mom, that's huge.
Yeah, and we talked about it, I think, last week or maybe the week before. Jeff is an emotional guy. We've seen that during his 4 seasons in Tennessee, and I don't think that served him well throughout this process. The uncertainty of contract negotiations and all this. I think he wasn't able to sort of separate himself and keep a very businesslike attitude throughout the whole thing. So, John, I'll ask you, do you think this will help him? I mean, you go back to his rookie year, Titans took a chance on him, A, coming off the knee surgery, B, with some character questions in the minds of some. He was emotional the day he was introduced, the day after being drafted in the first round. And then when he finally got on the field was an impact player right from the start. Should we suspect that we're going to see a Jeffrey Simmons who is that much more motivated to live up to the terms of this contract this fall?
I absolutely do. There are some players, certainly that, they sign a big contract and you wonder, you say, oh, they got the money. Is the motivation going to be there? Are they going to say, all right, I'm settled, I'm secure, the engine's not going to run quite as hot? I do not see that being the case with Jeffrey Simmons. You mentioned it, just his makeup is entirely different. I'm looking forward to see him next year. A, he's going to be, presumably completely healthy after playing basically the entire second half last year on a bum ankle, getting shot up. Before every game to get out there, that should tell you something about him right there. So he's going to be healthy. He's got this long-term security. He's a happy man right now. He always seems to have that chip on the shoulder nonetheless. And I'm sure after seeing how the Titans struggled last year and, You know, presumably won't be ranked very highly this year or forecast very highly. I'm sure there's going to be a chip on the shoulder. So I think we're going to see some vintage Jeffrey Simmons, healthy, secure, ready to go, trash talking and playing a violent game of football out there. I think Titans fans are going to love what they see out of him.
Yeah, it could be one of those things too, where you know you think how much time we've spent talking about the offensive line and how many new pieces that are gonna be there, and it's gonna be a rebuilt unit that's gonna take some time to come together. I mean, I can just imagine now. I mean, the team gets together for the start of off season work next week. OTAs and minicamp are not too far in the future. I can just see Jeff Simmons making those guys miserable for the first even in the unpadded practices, just wreaking havoc out there. I mean he's going to be that fired up, I think, right from the get go, because as you say, John, that you know that's his makeup. It's just the way he is. So, but you know that again. The headline is Big Jeff is going nowhere for a long time, and presumably one of his teammates. So during the duration of this extension will be the first round pick the Titans make in this year's draft. As we record this, they are still sitting at number 11. And if you look at the mock drafts that are out there, there are three names that seem to pop up in connection with the Titans more than most, and that is tackle Paris Johnson out of Ohio State, wide receiver Jackson Smith and Njigba out of Ohio State also, and Kentucky quarterback Will Levis. So let's take a look at these guys. Denard, Paris Johnson, a big, big man. You know, what do you know about him? What do you like about him as a possible first round pick for the Titans?
David, he's not big, man. He's colossal, man. 6'6", 311 pounds. But what's amazing, David, he's only 21 years old. He's a pup, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that is young. You're talking about a first-team All-American in 2022. He is absolutely – and this is what's amazing. A man that big, he's very versatile. Let's not forget in 2020 as a freshman, David, he played right guard. So what do you love about that pick is that he can play both positions. I mean, the more versatile you are, that's what Bill Belichick loves. He loves guys that are versatile. But what I love about this young man, very articulate, very smart. Let's not forget, this is interesting. This young man speaks Mandarin Chinese and Portuguese. You know what that tells me? The term dumb jock doesn't exist right here.
No, it does not.
Let me tell you something. What I love about Paris now, let's forget about the physical attributes. When you watch him on film, David, one word comes to mind, nasty. What do you want in an offensive lineman? If someone refers to you as nasty offensive lineman, they love that. That's music to their ears. And let me tell you something about Paris. David, he is a dog. He's like a house. You can't go around him. He's got great footwork. And what I'm telling you, when he's on the field, he reminds me, who was the big man back in the early 90s? They called him the pancake. What was it, Orlando? Oh,
no, was Jonathan Ogden?
No, not Ogden. See, I went back too far. My mind is far gone. But he's when I say nasty, what I mean by is he doesn't just block you. What he tries to do is to finish guys. You see a lot of times that tackle that's lined up on him, he's typically 5-10 yards down the field. He will block you out of the play. And what I love about him, he doesn't give up sacks. And that's what you want to see. If you want to bring a big man right now, David, he is game ready.
John Glennon, you know, when you look at Paris Johnson, what do you see? Why should the Titans like him or maybe not like him?
If you think I'm going to talk Denard down, you are wrong, sir. I am right there with you, Denard. Paris is my guy. If the Titans have him available, I think they should go with him at number 11. A lot of the same reasons. Big, tall, long, athletic. He's mobile. You know, he's good in zone schemes. He's good with RPOs. That was the kind of offense they ran at Ohio State. So I think it would transition naturally. As Denard mentioned, he is a smart guy. I think he's earned his degree maybe in 3 years already.
Yes.
You know, and they, you know, everyone seems to like the leadership that he brings out there as well. And versatility, too. He's not automatic. You don't have to automatically stick him at left tackle right away. As Denard mentioned, he played a year at right guard. You know, and you know, he could also presumably play right tackle. You know, if the Titans had any thought of moving NPF, Nicholas Petit-Frere, over to the left tackle, you know, that's not out of the question either. So the versatility is strong there as well. So I think, to me, and I've said this before, I think the most glaring need is that offensive line. And I know you've got Andre Dillard, but I don't think you can absolutely bank on him as being your left tackle at this point. And you can also move him inside. So Paris, you're my guy if you're there.
Yeah, I you know, it's funny. I don't love all this talk of versatility on the offensive line. You know, I think if you need a left tackle, get a left tackle. If you need a right guard, get a right guard. But, you know, we know that Paris Johnson can play guard, and you know, think about what a dramatic difference that would be, say, if you put him at left guard as opposed to Aaron Brewer last year, you know, Mr. Undersized in there, you know, but Dillard would be the same way. Dillard, you know, Dillard's a guy who could slide in there. I mean, you could see where this move makes sense. And I think Paris Johnson on the outside, just that simple, you know, coaches talk about this a little more and more. I hear it coming up, just that idea that a guy who's that big a body with that big a wingspan, whatever, you know, whatever his technique flaws, you still have to work hard to get around him. It takes you an extra step or two. And we know, you know, you give an NFL quarterback like Ryan Tannehill an extra step, that's all he needs to get the ball out and get it downfield where he's going. So, you know, we know that Mike Vrabel likes Ohio State guys in general, and there's a lot of other things about this guy that sort of fit a Mike Vrabel profile, where you could say yes, or it's easy to see him going to Rand Carthen saying yes, this is the guy I want with this pick, and as you know, as we are here a month into the season now, or the 2023 contract year, you know, offensive line still remains an unresolved issue. So I think it's easy to say that's where they're going to go or where they should be looking at this point. So
David, can I say something?
Right, yeah.
There? The reason that I forgot this young man's name, unfortunately, I lost to him in the Super Bowl. It's Orlando Pace, aka Pancake Man. I didn't want to just, you know what? There's a lot of similarities between these two. Remember, Orlando Pace was a huge man. I played against him. He blocked me one time with one finger. So the guy is an absolutely monster.
One finger.
Finger. That's all it took. I told him, I'm not going to take you on. You're too big.
Okay. Denard Walker with the admission there. Let's go to Will Levis, the Kentucky quarterback. We've talked about him a little bit. You know, he's made some headlines this offseason or this draft season with his physique in particular, but Denard, what do you see from Will Levis? Is this a guy the Titans should be looking at seriously there?
You know, I love Will Levis. We talked a little bit about him last week, and we talked about his struggles this past season. And what I wanted to talk about with Will Levis, I thought it was very interesting that when you look at the season, and this is where he's going to make his money, is that season he had in 2021. He was 10-3 in 13 games, had over 3,200 yards and 9 rushing touchdowns. Let's not forget that game in Florida. That's when people started to put him on the map, because he went down to Gainesville, down at the Swamp, and he absolutely put on a show. What hurt Will Levis, and I really wanted to get this out, and I want to let everybody know, the reason that he dropped off his senior season, I got a name for you. And when you talk about coaching is overrated,
okay.
When Liam Cohen, my dog.
Your dog's got an opinion on this.
Yeah. I got a shih tzu. You always want to act up when I tell him he needs to be quiet. So
he's on board with it here.
So, but you know, when his struggles came in 2022 because of the departure of Liam Cohen. Liam Cohen is one heck of an offensive coordinator. Now, Liam Cohen, 2022, he went to Los Angeles to be the offensive coordinator for the Rams, and we saw a dip in Will's game. Now, I'm telling you something. When I watch Will Levis, John and David, he can light it up. He has all the physical attributes, 6'3", 231. The thing about what hurts him is his footwork and his mechanics. So you imagine he gets here in Tennessee and he gets a chance to work with Tim Kelly. What do we talk about? One of the things that Coach Kelly is good at, working with young quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson, he had in his system in Houston. Let's not forget the job that Davis Mills, what he's done down there. He's doing his thing down in Houston. So, again, I think this would be a great fit because, last but not least, he reminds me of a Tennessee Titan quarterback that we've been talking about lately, Ryan Tannehill. You can see the athleticism. You can see the arm strength. With Lim, he just needs to make sure he gets in the right system around a good coach. And I think Tim Kelly and Will Levis would be a great, great, great combination in Nashville.
John Glennon, if the Titans like him, why should they like him? And do you think they have to trade up to get him?
Yeah, I'm a little torn on Will Levis because, yeah, as you mentioned, the first thing, probably if you really want to get Will Levis and be sure that you're going to get Will Levis, is you're probably going to have to trade into that number three spot. And that means giving up, you know, a couple of first round picks and more, and flipping first round picks this year in order to do so. So that, you know, obviously has to be taken into account when you're talking about Will Levis as well. Is he the guy that you want to give up that much draft capital for? You know, it's an interesting question because, like Denard said, you're really looking, is it going to be the Will Levis of 2021 or the Will Levis of 2022? And in addition, you know, to the departure of Liam Cohen that you mentioned, Denard, was a big factor. Also, you know, some of his best linemen left after 2021, some of his best receivers like Wandale Robinson, you know, now with the Giants, left after 2021. Plus, Will Levis was hurt for a great deal of 2022. I think he played, you know, with turf toe. You know, I think he had a shoulder injury, all kinds of things. So, you know, if you want to assume you're getting the 2021 Will Levis, you know, I'm on board with a lot of them. He's got the really great arm, size, athleticism. At the same time, yeah, the footwork doesn't seem to be too good. Inconsistencies, a little bit inaccurate. So I'm a little torn. You know, on Will Levis, I'm not sure I'm willing to give up as much as I would need to give up in order to draft Will Levis probably at number three.
You know, you say the strong arm. I've read where he says he can throw the ball 80 yards, which is which is quite a heave. And for a team that you know likes to take some shots downfield, I think that's something you can you know you would look at and consider. He's also, you know, for me, I like the fact, you know, you can say what you want about the Wunderlich test and this and that. You know, Will Levis is a 4.0 guy in college, and I, you know, I don't know what classes exactly he was taking, but 4.0 says to me he's a smart enough guy and a guy who's willing to put in the time and do the work. You know, he wasn't just floating on through at Kentucky. So, you know, as a quarterback, you want somebody who's going to put in the work and can learn what he needs to learn. And that suggests to me that he's able to do that. You know, the latest reports are that the Indianapolis Colts really like him at number four. So, you know, whether he's the chances of him falling to 11 seem pretty slim right now. And yeah, if the Titans really, really like him, they're probably going to have to make a move. Jackson Smith Najigba is a guy. He's sort of the newer name in terms of people talking about the Titans and possible picks. Do you see him, Denard, as a possibility? And if so, why?
Well, I see him as a great possibility because I'm very familiar with this young man. He's from my neck of the woods, Rockwall, Texas, which is the city next to me. And I had a chance to watch this young man. He is a phenomenal athlete. Steve Smith, the soon-to-be Hall of Famer we know from Carolina and Baltimore, he said it best. He says, this young man has a college degree in route running. He is a phenomenal athlete. If you go back a few years ago, that Rose Bowl game against Utah, it was probably a game where Utah defenders, they would like to forget about this young man because he put on a record performance. Let me just say about Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's about 6 feet, 197. When I watch him play, John and David, and when I break him down, there's one player that comes to mind. and that is the former great player, and may rest in peace, that's Terry Glenn. Remember Terry Glenn, who played a long time for New England? He has that kind of speed. What I'm talking about is his ability to get out of the, come out of that break full speed, and you watch him run those go routes and those seam routes, which Tennessee loves. He's hard to cover. He's, you put him in a slot, he's a nightmare. And what you love about him is he's so phenomenal. He's so smooth in his routes. Steve Smith said it best. There's no negatives on this young man. He is ready to come in and to be a first week starter. John, he has that kind of a talent. So this would be a huge fit. It just depends on what Tennessee is looking for. You know, we know they love the big receivers. Can they go after the big receiver, Quentin Johnston, down at TCU? Or could you go for a much smaller, much quicker player, much like Marvin Harrison and Terry Glenn? That's the kind of mold that Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's in right now.
John Glennon, give us your take.
Yeah, I like him for the most part. You know, again, you're looking at a guy because of his 2021 numbers, because last year he was limited to just three games, had a hamstring issue. We know what that means in Titans land. They don't like that kind of thing. Maybe that's a red flag. I don't know, but incredible numbers in 2021. 95 catches, almost 1,600 yards, averaged almost 17 yards a catch, and 9 touchdowns. How do you beat that production? If you want to find potential negatives, maybe in terms of the eyes of the Titans, he's not necessarily a burner, not necessarily a guy who's going to blow people away downfield, which is maybe what the Titans need, more than anything. But yeah, incredible route runner, great hands, tough to bring down, very reliable. You know, he played a ton of slot, I think that would probably be the spot that he would start out at, with the Titans as well. But these days, you know, NFL teams are using people in the slot so effectively. And you remember, Treylon Burks played primarily slot in college too. But, still transitioned outside, and plenty of wide receivers can do that as well. So I'm a little bit mixed. He's not the biggest guy. He's not necessarily a burner, but you know he's going to be very productive. If he and his teammate Paris Johnson are both available, I'm going with Paris. But, it wouldn't be the end of the world if they got Smith and Ajigba either.
Yeah, people talk the scouting reports I've seen talk about Smith and Ajigba's strong hands, and he's a guy who can sort of catch the ball cleanly, catch the ball in traffic, and he's not fighting to make the catch, which allows him a good run after the catch, which anyone who has seen the Titans in the last few years knows that that's something that they really like to do there. And Denard, you talked about him a little bit, but to me, it almost feels like, okay, when you mentioned Quentin Johnson, and I've talked about him, I love Quentin Johnson, but do you need another big guy like that, or do you want a complimentary piece to Treylon Burks? And you think about, A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, for example. Corey Davis was not the fastest, not the biggest wide receiver in the NFL, but paired with A.J. Brown, almost got 1,000 yards and got himself a big payday a couple years ago. If Treylon Burks is the player that the Titans think he is, I could see them looking at a guy like Jackson Smith and Ajigba and saying that could be a similar pairing that we could go with for a couple years and let these guys work together and build up. So it's certainly wide receiver is a position of need for this team. So, we know where John Glennon stands. Denard, I'm going to ask you real quickly, if it's a choice between these three, who are you taking?
Well, since Tennessee, they haven't made a splash getting a receiver, I'm going with Jackson Smith and Jigba.
All right.
I feel the receiver.
Yeah, I feel like receivers, this is the year receivers are going to slide. I think at number 41 in the second round, the Titans might find themselves somebody to fall into their lap there. But we can talk more about that next week. We are uh, We are in the closing stages here, so we're gonna wrap this episode of Believe in Titans up. Thank you as always for tuning in, for downloading, for telling your friends. Denard Walker, until next week.
All right, thank you.
All right, John Glennon, until next week, and we look forward to getting an update on your rehab at that point.
All right, enjoy it, guys. Thank you.
And I am David Beauclair, and this is the Believe in Titans podcast, brought to you by Bet Online.